Today's November, it's actually the 23rd. I was supposed to change that date from 16 to 23, but I didn't. Whoops. That's not what day it is. It's really the 23rd. Sorry about that. The lesson is right, though. Loving others is the one that we're going to look at today. And the key verse that we chose for that is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13. And this is what it says. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We in this country have an amazing gift of freedom. We as Christians within the body of Christ have an incredible amount of freedom. And one of the things that you do when you're sitting in the deer stand is think. Because you can't move. You're not supposed to move. You're supposed to sit still. And so basically you just sit there and listen and think. And one of the thoughts that I had was on freedom. Back when I used to be a soldier boy, I used to think about freedom oftentimes as you were doing what you were doing or waiting to do what you were doing. And I come to understand at a young age that freedom is something that you really can't restrict. Otherwise, it's not freedom. So as Christians, we are completely free. And as I lead you in the church, I'm going to lead you in a positive pattern that we are for certain things. We are pro certain things, but we aren't against other things. If you understand that, we focus on the positive in our walk with Christ and in freedom in our country. In order to have freedom, then there are other people who are free to do other stuff than what we do. But we don't judge them or we're not against them or what they do. We are for what is right. And that pattern is the pattern I want our church to follow, is that in freedom, people literally in this country can do anything they want. Now, sometimes you get arrested for some of the things you want to do, but you're free to do them. You know, sometimes you're free to do stuff that hurt you, but you're still free to do them. And people are free to do wrong things by biblical standards. But you can still do it. And as a church, I want us to be for things, not against things. And that's the freedom that I want you to be led into. And it's not to follow the sinful nature, but to serve one another in love is the idea. So we're going to try to draw a diagram about loving others. So the title is Loving Others. Now this is probably one of the most complex things that I ever want you to draw. And it's a spiral that's larger at the top and smaller at the bottom. And it theoretically should look kind of like a tornado when we're done. So draw one of these spirals. Bigger at the top, smaller at the bottom. And in this first part of the lesson, it really is like a tornado. Or if you've ever watched when you flush the stool, how it spins and goes down, kind of looks like that. It's not a positive thing. It's a destructive thing. How many of you have ever got to go to the equator? Any of you ever got to go to the equator? I was driving across barren wilderness in Africa where there's nothing. And we're on a blacktop road that's probably in worse condition than what you drive on a daily basis here in the United States. But it was still a blacktop road. And all of a sudden, you crest this hill, and on the road is this big, white, painted stripe that runs across the road and as far as you can see out into the rocks and gravel on both ways. And there's these little Quonset shacks on either side of that, just out in the middle of no place. And Eric Carlson was with me, and he was actually driving. I was in the passenger seat. And he said, this is the equator. And I always knew there was a stripe on the globe, but I didn't know there was a stripe on the ground. So we stopped there and took our picture, standing on one side of the equator or the other. And there are these Africans who are there trying to generate money from the tourists, and they have this thing that they do, that they have this big funnel, and they put it over a jug, and for X amount of dollars, they will pour water into that funnel on both sides of the equator for you. And so, being a typical tourist, I gave them the dirty money. And on one side of the equator, it spirals clockwise. And you take the same bucket, the same funnel, and move it on the other side of the equator and pour the water in there, and it goes counterclockwise. And I almost paid him to watch him do it again. I mean, I'm talking 3 foot difference. Not 10 miles. But when they made the stripe wide enough on the road so you couldn't miss it. And obviously they had experimented with this enough time. You have to be so far apart. But on one side of the equator, it goes like we have here. Your toilet goes one direction. On the other side of the equator, the toilet spins the other way. It's very cool. Anyway, in your life, we're going to look at the one spinning one way now, and then we're going to look at it spinning the other way in a minute. So when you look at this side of the diagram, you're looking at the side of the diagram with an arrow going down. So put this one down. And obviously on the other side, we'll draw the arrow up. On this side of the diagram, we're looking at people who live life selfishly. And most of us understand by now, whatever age we're at, that people who live life selfishly have challenges in their relationship, struggles in their relationship. When you're selfish and self-centered, it causes problems and breaks relationships. But many of us have never really thought of the idea that when we live selfishly, we're competing against God. I've been deer hunting this weekend, and deer hunting is the competition of, you know, man and animal, and the real competition among the humans who do it is who can do the killing shot on the biggest set of antlers. That's the competition. There'll be football games today that some of us will sit down and watch part of. Another competition. Have you ever considered that when you live self-centered, selfishly, you are challenging, competing against God? You're actually walking after the devil, following him in rebellion against God, and living a life where you're challenging him in competition. Now, when I first read that, the logic part of me said, what could be stupider than to take on a powerful God? Right? To challenge him to a competition. I mean, that's just plain stupid. Logically. But experientially, I find myself doing that periodically. Experientially, when I was growing up, I wished somebody had drawn a diagram and told me how to develop relationships with other people. Most of my life, I've been wondering, so how is it that you have healthy relationships with the people you're related to? How do you love these other people that you're related to? How do you get someone of the opposite sex to have a relationship with you and love you? How do you actually develop relationships with your peers that are healthy and godly? And in all my years of going to school, no one ever showed me how to do that. What would be the right way to develop a relationship with the people that you're related to, people that you love, people you're married to, your children, with your peers? Did any of you have somebody show you practically what destroys relationships and what would healthily build relationships? See, you're like me. It's kind of like doing the forgiveness thing last week when we drew those diagrams of forgiveness. Folks were saying, well, I've been in the church for a lot of years, but I never really knew how to do that forgiveness thing until you showed us. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at selfish relationships. And we'll start with seeking praise. Put that on the top of the list. Now, there are people that I know, and there are television shows that I've watched where people spend a lot of time, energy, and effort to get somebody to praise them. How many of you know people like that? That they are challenged every day in life to find something to wear or something to do so that someone will compliment them so they'll feel good about themselves. But it's all about getting for me. It's all about getting something from you that makes me feel better. Watched Jack Nicholson the other day, and he says, "You make me feel better. I like being around you," in one of the movies, you know, As Good As It Gets. He says, "When I'm around you, I feel better because you do this for me. You make me feel better, so I like being around you." But he's getting. And see, that's oftentimes the way it is in the world. I've never watched Gossip Girl yet, but I understand the precedence of Gossip Girl. I haven't ever watched The World's Top Model or whatever it is. But in that, you know, Lipstick Jungle, all these things where folks are building their whole life around the idea of being praised, of being the prettiest, right? The smartest, the handsomest. I last year, after freezing in a deer stand, read an article that says cotton kills. And when you dress to be out in the cold, if you wear cotton next to your skin, which I do 99.99% of the time, I have cotton t-shirts on and cotton socks and all that stuff, but that's the worst thing you can do when you want to stay warm. And so all the magazines that I was reading, and there's lots of them in the VA hospital lobbies, and I spend, you know, a day a week or two up there reading these magazines. But they said, you know, you want to get some of this new high-tech underwear. This is Under Armour. You know, it's really slickery and cool. And you put that stuff next to your skin, and it wicks. And it really works. It's a phenomenal thing. But this morning, when I put on Under Armour and happened to walk by the mirror with just my Under Armour on, I do not look like that picture that you see in the magazine. You know, when I was drawing the little guy last week with the no waist and great big shoulders, you know, and when you see these people modeling this Under Armour, oh, I mean, they're just ripped, cut, you know. That's not me. And so I was walking by the mirror, I said, well, I'm not going to have have anybody ever ask me to be a model for Under Armour, you know. You can't get praise when you look like this for the way you look, you know. But there are people that I know, guys that I know, who spend lots of hours every week in the gym just in the hope that someone this week will say, wow, you really look, you know. So seeking praise. The next one that I'd like you to put on there is controlling. People in this downward cycle of selfishness will be controlling in their relationships. And it's another selfish way of trying to get my needs met by controlling you. And probably as you go into the holiday season here, there will be people that you either work with or live with or are related to that during the expression of how we're going to do the holidays, you will sense some level of this in your life. It normally happens to all of us over the holidays that it's not really what we want to do, but we're going to go do it because, you know, there's this kind of controlling influence from either our employers or our family people. But trying to control people, trying to get people to go the way you want to do, is not healthy in building relationships. And the next thing I want you to write down is judging. I don't think I spelled that right. And the last thing is rejection. Those tend to lead downward. And we went through a whole cycle on judging not that long ago. The process of that and the cycle of rejection. But this pattern, when people live in this pattern, they end up with broken relationships. Broken relationships. That's the pattern of the downward cycle. When you're living in this rejection cycle, when you're judging other people, when you're condemning other people. I was in a restaurant last night, and the conversation went to our president-elect. And there were some other Christians there who were saying some very negative things about the favored son from the state of Illinois, who is our new president-elect. And when they asked me, I had a positive bent on the sovereignty of God electing this man for the job. If I believe there's a sovereign God, and I do, then he's the right guy for the job right now. And I expressed to them, because of the nature of a number of the things that he believes in, I will probably pray for him harder, more diligently, more strongly than I did the exiting president, because of the harmony that I felt with the other president and some valued areas in my life. Sometimes I even forgot to pray for him. But now, I will pray for this president, and I challenge you to pray for this president in positive ways. Not some of the negative ways, like I heard in the restaurant, but I want you to think positive, pray positive for our president-elect, because he is our commander-in-chief. He is the one that God wanted in there. And we as believers need to support him, not break relationship with him. Does that make sense? But it would be easy to reject from, you know, a conservative, Christian, valued state like I come from. It would be easy to reject him. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say? But it would be a very good thing if I prayed for him and his family and the country at this time. Well, on the other side of the diagram, I want you to draw an arrow that starts at the bottom and goes up to the top. And on this side of the diagram, I want you to put on the bottom humbling self. Humbling self. Rather than living a life of self-centeredness and selfishness on the left side of the diagram, on the right side of the diagram, you start by humbling yourself. And that's a constant process. Jesus, when he was getting ready to leave planet Earth, said, there's two things I want you to learn from me. One of them is, I want you to learn to be gentle and meek. And the other one is, I want you to learn humility. Those are the only two things that in all of his ministry he ever says, I want you to learn these things from my life. But learning to humble yourself is a constant, ongoing process throughout the existence of life. It's not one day you get humble and then you're done with it. There is always more things that in humility you could do. As Marty led us in that song, make me a servant, humble, meek. Lord, let me lift up, let me give to those who are weak. See, that's the idea that we're talking about here. It's an attitude shift from getting for myself and giving to others. I don't need anything. God guarantees he will meet all of my needs. Now, in most cases, he extraordinarily above the bounds meets my needs. For example, food, shelter, and clothing. I do not have one pair of church clothes that when I go to the closet, I have my Sunday go to meeting only clothes. I have lived with and seen and been around people who have one nice set of clothes. And they save it for Sunday. Now see, God has been so gracious to me, I actually have to stand there and try to figure out what I'm going to wear from all that stuff. You know? And at times of the year like this, when I have nice, warm things, I have Under Armour underwear. You know? He has been amazingly giving to me. Now, what I intend to do is from the graciousness of him giving to me in all areas of life. I use a physical illustration to try to talk about a relational thing. But in humbling yourselves in relationship, you want to come into relationships with the knowledge and confidence that everything you need is there. You don't have to be worried or scared about the people that you'll get together with over the holidays, that you'll say the wrong thing. God will meet every one of your needs out of His riches and glory in the moment that you need it. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. You don't have to be afraid of those things, but you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and you allow Him to work through you diligently in your prayer life, within your soul, while you're doing other things physically. You ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, to take control of your spirit, to flow through you in a practical way. But it begins by humbling yourself and asking. You know, folks were saying earlier, it's oftentimes hard to ask for help. When we took that first lesson a long time ago, and I told you that list, when we made that list in a materials development meeting, I was the one that they say, well, Wilmer has a hard time asking for help. So put that question on there. It's hard for you to ask for help, because it is. But you know what it requires is this. It requires me to humble myself and say, I can't do it on my own, or I'm not supposed to do it on my own. I'm actually supposed to ask for people to help me do some of these things. The next thing on this side is trusting God. And if you can get to that point, if you can get to the point where you're trusting God, you're over the hump and getting down. Because on this side of the diagram over here, we trust ourselves. And on this side of the diagram over here, on the upward spiral in relationship with other people, we not only humble ourselves, but we trust God in that time. He will equip me with everything that I need. He will make a way straight for me. He will do that. And I pray for people and pray as I'm meeting with people all the time. And it's this process of trusting God to actually accomplish the relationship that we have. And you live an accepting life. You're accepting of other people's. Other people. As we were doing that judgment cycle, we use the illustration of Jesus Christ being in the temple, and they brought a lady to Him who was caught in the act of adultery. And you probably remember me saying, what happened to the guy? But Jesus didn't condemn that lady for what she did. He didn't judge her. He came at it from a positive bent. Are there any of here that condemn you? And she says, no. He said, I don't either. Now, honey, stop doing that. You know, go home. Stop sinning. So He's not accepting her sin or condoning her sin, but He's accepting the individual and He's encouraging her to, honey, stop sinning. And we could live that way in relationship with people. Rather than judging them and controlling them and rejecting them, we could live in an accepting way. And I think what it'll lead you to doing as you're coming up here and trusting God, when you humble yourself and you're praying and you're trusting God and you're accepting people, it will lead you to a deeper personal prayer life in relationships with other people. Because probably, if I could read all of your minds right now, in most of the relationships, through most of the days that you go through in a normal week, you really don't talk to God much about the relationships you're in as you're in them. If you're like me, it's only the real problem ones that I find myself praying for. Am I the only one like this? Yeah. We kind of live through life in the behavioral patterns that we've been taught through the family illustrations that we have. We just kind of go with it. Whether it be marriage, whether it be parenting, whether it be whatever. And what I'm saying is there is a better way, and it is a way of humbling, trusting, accepting, and finally giving. And that leads to healthy relationships. Healthy is not spelled right. I forgot how to spell it when I was spelling it. But it's healthy relationships rather than broken relationships. So the end of the process is giving. And oftentimes, people want to just start there without going through the attitudinal internal changes that we're talking about below that. They just want to start by giving people advice or, right? Just figure one cell phone call and they can straighten this whole problem out and they can get grandma or mom or dad or cousin Betty or whatever to be the way they want them. All they got to do is give them the facts, right? And it'll work out just right. No, it really is a transformation internally within you and I that does this. We humble ourselves, we trust God, we pray, we accept people for who they are, where they are, and we give to them love. That's the end product, is you're giving them love, which is what makes this go the other direction. In the book of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, there are these verses beginning at 29. It says, "He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." The other day I was sitting in a deer stand, sitting still, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And it had warmed up almost to 30 degrees. So it was, you know, there was this upward thermal current of sunlight warming. And it felt good on me. I actually turned into deer stand, so I was getting a facial sun, you know, because it was warming me up. And I noticed that out where I hunt, there's some hawks. And one of these big gray-tailed hawks was hunting. But he, like me, was relatively motionless, although he was going upwards. He wasn't flapping his wings. He wasn't flying like a sparrow or a hummingbird. He just had stretched out his wings, and there was a thermal coming up off of the ground that was good enough to lift him up into the air. So he's just got his wingtips spread out there, and he's just making these circles that look like that thing going up. And he was going higher and higher. And eventually, he saw some critter and tucked his wings and amazingly fast fell out of the sky to fall out of sight. And some little varmint was lunch. But the point of it all is, we could live a life that way, where the Spirit of God is lifting us up. It's not our efforts. It's our willingness to trust Him and stretch out our wings and let the Holy Spirit of God within us and around us lift us to heights and relationships that we've never had before. It's the power of God flowing through you, and that's the pattern of personal attitude change that you would appropriate to see that effect in your life. And when you get to the top, then God will let you do that really fast fall. It's always fun to get what it is He wants you to get to. But then He will lift you back up again, and you'll find yourself running and not being weary and striving along and not being tired and being able to run and gun with the young kids because of the Spirit of God living within you in relationships with others.